Our Father in Heaven, the great Almighty God, the one who has created all things according to His perfect wisdom. Father, we thank You for this day of worship. We can come as Your people before Your presence to express our love for You, our faith in You, and also a time where we can come together to learn from You, to hear what You have to say to us. We thank You for all that You have done and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, a life of richness and abundance, and also provisions for us to learn how to fight the good fight of faith and how to overcome the evil one. We thank You for granting us a part in Your kingdom and a part in the fulfillment of Your purposes, and we pray that You will help us to learn how to be faithful to You, to be effective soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We commit this time to Your hands and pray that the Spirit of God will grant us insight into the truth. We ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of the fulfillment of God's purposes. And we are now considering resolving the problem of the rebellion of Satan and the fallen angels. The topic for today, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. For today's message, I will consider with you the importance of learning to fight the good fight of faith. This involves the need to recognize and discern the activity and attacks of the forces of darkness so that we can counter them effectively. And this is what today's message will concentrate upon. Our present scenario or context that we are in, it is the will of God for believers to participate in setting the captives free and destroy the works of Satan and the forces of darkness. And as you've seen, this would involve spiritual warfare. We need to be properly equipped to be strong in the Lord and to put on the full armor of God. We've seen this is what Paul emphasizes to us in Ephesians chapter 6. Because spiritual warfare is an integral part of the fulfillment of God's purposes, it is essential for God's children to learn to fight the good fight of faith. It's interesting to note that this is a prominent feature of Paul's testimony at the end of his life, that he had fought the good fight, and that this has a direct bearing on God's approval of his life and awarding him the crown of righteousness. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Paul wrote, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Notice the context in verse 6. Paul talks about the time of my departure has come. He has approached the end of his life. He's about to depart from this earth to be with the Lord. And he testified, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." He has finished his course. And to him, this is important. "I have fought the good fight." In relation to the subject of spiritual warfare, Paul has written much on this subject, especially in Ephesians chapter 6. And for his own life, he testifies, "I have fought the good fight." And he tells us, "In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness." So it is a life that the Lord approves of, where God, the righteous judge, will award to him on that day the crown of righteousness. And we see this is related to his having finished the course, having fought the good fight. So as Paul testifies at the end of his life, this is one aspect he wanted to highlight, that he has fought the good fight. But we'll see that Paul was not only concerned for his own life and his own and the fact that he can appear before God, knowing that God will approve of his life. He's also concerned that all of us will also, when we face our righteous judge, will also meet with God's approval, when also will receive the crown of righteousness, which Paul wrote, which God will award, not only to him, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul wants others, and that is all believers, to also fight the good fight of faith, so that we too will fulfill the will of God and receive the crown of righteousness. And this is what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. This is the will of God for all his children, that we fight the good fight of faith. Being a good soldier in God's army is a prominent imagery in the scriptures. And the brethren must learn to fight and also learn to fight together as an effective army of the Lord. This is an important aspect of the manifestation of effective body life. However, to fight effectively, it is important for believers to understand the activity of the evil one and to learn to recognize and discern his attacks. This is not all that there is to learning to fight the good fight of faith, but this is an important aspect which I want to concentrate upon today. If we want to experience God's leading us in triumph in Christ, in spiritual warfare, and this is what all of us wants to, then we need to pay heed to what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, which is Paul telling us about God leading us in triumph in Christ. Let us look at that verse first. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. This is what we want to experience. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. We referred to this verse in the earlier message, that we can experience victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, and this in the context of service, testimony, witness. But it's helpful for us to take note of the preceding verse 11. We want to always, or to want to experience this victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's important for us to pay heed to verse 11. Paul says, so that no advantage will be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes, the schemes or the wiles of the evil one. It's important we are not ignorant of the wiles and schemes of the evil one and how he attacks us, so that we will not be taken advantage of. If we do not know what the evil one is doing and how he attacks, nor discern his working, then how can we counter and nullify his works, which is an important aspect of this period of our time on earth? Because whether we recognize it or not, whether we pay attention to it or not, the forces of darkness will continually be actively at work. And they are actively at work in all aspects of our lives. So it's important for us to learn how to discern and to counter his attacks, not only for our own lives, but also for the lives of others, and also for the Lord's work generally. We've seen that God's call for us involves overcoming the evil one, setting the captives free, nullifying the works of the forces of darkness. So it will be helpful then for us to have some idea of the scope, the width, the depth of spiritual warfare, the various ways in which the evil one works in this world, and the lives of people, including believers and non-believers. And I want to mention some aspects of the attacks of the evil one on the physical body, and on our faculties. I will not be going into a detailed consideration on learning to discern and counter the attacks of evil one. For more detailed consideration, I will refer to my messages on overcoming the evil one. In the present context, as I mentioned, I want to have an overall picture of this whole subject of spiritual warfare. So I'll just mention briefly some of these areas for us to have a total picture. If we look at Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 13, we have recorded for us here an example of a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit which caused her to be bent double, and she could not straighten up at all. Verse 10 tells us the Lord Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And verse 11 tells us there was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit. So the evil at work on the body can stretch on for a very long period of time and cause her to be bent double. She could not even straighten up. And she could be freed from this. In this instance, from what you can see here, is primarily spiritual. Verse 12, when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. Verse 11 tells us that this is not an ordinary illness. It was an illness caused by a spirit. The evil one can cause illness. He can also be at work to cause injury, pain, malfunctioning of our physical body and our faculties. In this regard, we need to be prayerful, pray for ourselves, pray for one another, and especially in contexts where we are more involved or the brethren are more involved in spiritual service, there's a need for us to also pray for protection. But the evil one can attack not only our physical bodies, he can also attack other faculties that we have, and in particular an area that's very important for us to bear in mind is the attacks on the mind or our thought life. Sometimes we find that we keep continually have a lot of distracting, irrelevant thoughts that make it difficult for us to concentrate on the things that really matter. It can be the evil one actively at work in that situation. He can also put into our minds, discouraging thoughts, negative thoughts. He can also work such that we have difficulty controlling our thought life and we are rather confused. So it's important for us when we experience any of these things, even though we do not always straight away assume that it's only the evil one at work, it can at times also be due to other reasons why we have such thoughts. But one aspect we need to take note of, that even if there are other reasons, other causes, the evil one can be taken advantage of it to magnify it, so it becomes more serious. So it's important for us to pray against the forces of darkness at work in the situation, to reject their working in our lives in these various ways. The evil one can also attack us in the area of the emotion. And at times, we may find ourselves unduly moody, irritable. In particular, just imagine just the night before, you may find that you have a very meaningful time with the Lord just before you went to bed. The night before, as far as you can understand, your relationship with the Lord. You've sorted out things and it's a very meaningful relationship with God. But then you sleep and the next morning when you get up, you feel moody, irritable. Your spiritual state has not changed. But at the emotional level, things have changed. And the emotion is something that the evil one can manipulate. It includes our emotions fluctuating. Sometimes we feel very high, sometimes we feel very low, sometimes we feel very difficult, miserable, anxious, depressed. Again, here at times there can be other reasons, other causes, but we need to bear in mind that the evil one can be at work in these aspects, and we need to pray to the Lord to deliver us from the works of the evil one and to reject their influences, their working in the situation. And important for us not to allow the evil one to succeed by the way he manipulates our emotions. He wants us to be hindered in an effective walk for God, in living our lives the way the Lord desires of us. So especially during such times, it's important for us to look to the Lord to strengthen us to continue to live our lives independent of these emotions that tend to hinder us from living the way we ought to, and continue to trust the Lord and live as we recognize He wants, He desires of us. And as we do so, often you'll find that these emotions that are not helpful, they will recede after a time, and we can be completely free from it after a while. Although at times it may take a little longer, especially if there are other aspects that are involved in it. The evil one can also attack us directly on our spirit and our will, so that we have a downcast spirit, our spirit feel oppressed. We may also experience difficulty exercising our spirit properly, effectively. This can result in difficulty exercising our spirit and exercising ourselves in the direction of truth and responding to situations in the manner we recognize we ought to. At other times, we find that we can't. But during these times, when the evil is more at work, we have great difficulty. We find he's trying to weaken our resolve, our determination to do what we recognize we ought to. Again, in this context, it's important for us to pray for the Lord to help us and continue to exercise ourselves in the direction we recognize we ought, trusting the Lord, depending on Him, and not allowing the evil one to succeed. It's always important to learn to counter what the evil one is seeking to do by looking to the Lord to strengthen us, to help us, to live as He desires of us. The evil one can also work through different kinds of situations. And in particular, when we want to be serious, when we want to work out our faith well, we find suddenly various kinds of distracting situations, things to distract us from our focus, our concentration on living well for God. The evil one can place various kinds of temptations, difficulties in our path. He can also manipulate situations so that we feel very difficult and the situation rather pressurizing. There's a need for us to be discerning and to pray to God for His undertaking, for the situations that we go through, and also to reject the powers of darkness and they're working in the situation, to pray against these things. This can also happen in our work context. Difficulties with colleagues, a lot of heavy workload, complexities in the work context, are becoming entangled with the work situation, the work context, and various kinds of problems that emerge. Whether in work context, in the school context, or in other situations. So to be faithful to God and to be effective in God's kingdom, it is essential that we learn to fight the good fight of faith. And in this regard, our concern is not just for our own lives, but also for the lives of others. And what I've just mentioned, and what I'm going to carry on from here, bear in mind our need to learn how to counter and nullify the work of the evil one, not only in our own lives, but also in the lives of others. But for this to take place effectively, we must understand that it's important that our learning to nullify and to destroy the work of the evil one must first begin with the work of the evil one in our own heart, in the heart of the believer. We can say we need to pay attention in this regard, both in terms of the width as well as the depth of it. We can look at it from the angle of the positive as well as the negative, and both are important, and they are related. From the angle of the positive, we can say that as more and more areas of our lives are submitted to God, that has to do with the width of it. There are different areas of our life. Increasingly, we look to the Lord in our time with Him, as well as in the daily situations that we go through. The Lord helps us to recognize, understand that there are different areas that are not so submitted to Him. And we learn to submit to Him. And the other is the degree of intensity of our commitment to the Lord and to the truth. We may say we are committed to the Lord in the different areas of our lives, whether it be work situation, our relationship issues, and our ambitions, our direction, our goal in life. As various of these areas we are submitted to the Lord, we also need to consider the degree of intensity. This is also related to the issue of the deficiencies in our lives, which we know that the evil one is also very often at work. This can be due also to a past history where ground has been given, and there are various areas of deficiencies where the evil one has a hole. And there's a need for us to look to the Lord to help us to deal with these deficiencies so that more and more our lives can be more wholly, fully submitted to the Lord in the different aspects. So this is a very important process. Nullifying, destroying the work of the evil one in our own hearts, and more and more, the meaning and the degree, the intensity of our commitment to the Lord and to the truth. And as we do so, we will find that there will be increasing quality and meaning of God reigning in our heart. Previous to that, it is the opposite. The evil one having a lot of freedom to work in our lives and various areas, if you want to describe it this way, also we can of bondage to the evil one. Areas of weakness, deficiency, bondage to the evil one. And as more and more we are free from these things, both goes together, the dealing with the deficiencies, and then increasingly our commitment to the Lord and God having the freedom to work in our hearts, we'll then increasingly experience the quality and meaning of God reigning in our heart. This will then be related to the depth and quality of the meaning in our heart. As we experience this, there will be the corresponding freedom from the hold of the evil one in our heart. And we can say this will also have a corresponding implication of effectiveness in our lives in overcoming the forces of darkness. Not just in the situations that we encounter in our personal lives, but in our desire to be effective in overcoming the forces of darkness in the lives of others, and also in spiritual warfare in relation to the Lord's work. So as there's increasing meaning and quality of God reigning in our heart, that goes together with a corresponding freedom from the hold of the evil one in our hearts, this will then be manifested in our lives, including our prayer life and also the things we do and in our conversations with others and the words we speak. This would mean increasingly the manifestation of God's glory through our lives and impact on the spiritual realm and the lives of others positively. We can say this is the This is the positive testimony of the believer. This would already mean the participation of the believer in helping set the captives free and nullifying the works of the evil one in the lives of others. So all these are interrelated. But it's important we recognize it need first to begin in our own heart. We must first overcome the forces of darkness at work in our heart. And as I mentioned, there are two sides to it. One has to do with the reign of God in our heart, corresponding to that, the freedom from the hold of the evil one in the heart of the believer. And as this takes place, there will be the increasing quality of our lives, which will then enable us to be effective in prayer and also effective when we testify for the Lord in words and in deed. And as we relate with others, the impact of our lives on others. So all this would then contribute to the advancement of God's kingdom. The reign of God in our lives and the lives of others, and the corresponding retreat of the kingdom of darkness. The effectiveness of such a life, of this impact in the spiritual realm, is directly related to the quality of life of the believer. What we've been covering at length in the previous message, in earlier messages on moral, spiritual beauty and stature. This is one of the reasons why we need to pay much attention to this critical issue. As we continue to grow in spiritual stature and maturity, we will become more and more effective in spiritual warfare and impact on the spiritual realm positively. But for us to move well in this direction, in moral, spiritual quality and stature, there's a need for us to be more and more free from the deficiencies and weaknesses that the evil one has managed to work into our hearts over the years, and increasingly experiencing the quality and the meaning of God reigning in our heart. We can also say the meaning of God reigning in our heart, the meaning and the quality of it as it grows, is also the advancement of God's kingdom in our own heart. We can say that a major context, if we want to be effective in spiritual warfare, ultimately is not just overcoming the evil in specific situations. A very important aspect that we need to bear in mind, that God desires of us in this aspect of spiritual warfare and overcoming the evil one, is the advancement of God's kingdom and overcoming the evil one in the hearts and minds of people, Christians as well as non-Christians, beginning with our own lives and then in the lives of others. Christians and non-Christians in this sense, non-Christians in the sense that as we are able to influence, well, in prayer as well as in our lives, in our relationship with them, when we influence them, as non-Christians move away from the influence and hold of the evil one in their lives, in the direction of God and into God's kingdom, there would then be the advancement of God's kingdom in their hearts, a movement in that direction. So it's not just at the point of conversion. All positive influences on non-believers that has affected them positively is already in the direction of the overcoming of the evil one, in the advancement of God's kingdom in the heart of the non-believer, the direction of it, and then finally into God's kingdom, that is the non-believer entering God's kingdom. Generally, it is a process. Generally, non-believers do not just enter into God's kingdom all of a sudden. Whether we realize it, we recognize it or not, often it is a process that takes place, and the lives, the conduct, and how Christians relate with non-Christians would often have a bearing in this process. Likewise, for Christians, as Christians become increasingly submitted to God in width as well as in depth, the various areas of their lives and the intensity, the depth of it. As I mentioned here in this regard, in our own lives, as well as to what degree we can have a positive influence and impact on the lives of other Christians. And this is a very major area that God wants us to be involved in. As we seek to be a positive influence on others, we need to bear in mind this spiritual dimension and spiritual warfare is involved. The powers of darkness will not just lie back and let you do whatever you want to do. They will be opposing, they will be seeking to hinder, and there's a need for us to recognize that in order to fulfill what God desires of us in these areas, to help non-believers as well as believers move in the direction of God's kingdom and growing as believers, as God's children, there's a need for us to overcome the activity and the work of the evil one. I now want to go on to consider with you at a group level. And that is, the evil one is not only at work at the individual level. It's important for us to also recognize there's also the group level. Another important dimension of the attacks of the evil one and the forces of darkness at work is at the group level in the Christian context as well as in society generally. In the Christian context, in the sense of body life, church life, as well as Christian work and service. We'll also afterwards consider the group level in relation to society generally. It's important for God's children also to discern the works of the evil one in this dimension and how to counter them effectively. In relation to body life, church life, not just considering this in our own context, but also when we look at the fulfillment of God's purposes, what is in his heart, is relevant for us to bear in mind that there has been intense spiritual opposition to the birth and development of healthy church life. This is something very important in the heart of God for the universal church and also for it to be expressed in the local context. And we know that the evil one is actively, intensely opposed to what is all that is important to God. And so there will be and there has been intense continuing opposition. I mentioned to the birth and development of healthy church life. First, we need to recognize there will be intense opposition because of the great potential and significance of healthy church life in the fulfillment of God's purposes. The evil one will do all he can, first to prevent, to hinder spiritual insight of what constitutes healthy church life. And that's where, as we trace church history, we will find that this is an area where believers generally have difficulty understanding, although God has revealed these truths in the scriptures. Why is it throughout church history there has been difficulty amongst God's people to recognize, to understand the major aspects of healthy church life and its significance when this is so important to God? A very major factor has to do with the evil one hindering, preventing believers from recognizing, from gaining spiritual insight into what constitutes healthy church life. We can say that this is in the dimension of inflicting spiritual blindness. Or for believers to concentrate on other issues and fail to recognize and pay sufficient attention to this very major area. But when he fails to hinder believers from understanding, from gaining spiritual insight into what constitutes healthy church life, the next step would be for him then to oppose the development of healthy church life. So there may be those who have some understanding, but somewhere along the way it does not develop. It doesn't move well. Healthy church life may not even come to birth. Why is it so? The evil one will place many different kinds of obstacles along the way. So for those who may have some degree of insight, or even a certain, the Lord may have shown them various things that they have come to appreciate, but they may not be able to come together to work out church life in a meaningful way. The evil one will place all kinds of obstacles along the way, and he can also inflict pain, pressure, fear, anxiety, discouragement. In many different ways, he will seek to hinder the birth of healthy church life. But if he fails to hinder the birth of healthy church life, as the believers come together to seek to work it out, then again he will oppose and do all he can. And this will be an unceasing opposition, unceasing spiritual attacks and opposition to hinder the development of healthy church life. And again, in this regard, there are many different ways he can do that. He can seek to lead the believers so that they go astray, they become distracted by other things. He can seek to nullify their lives through the attraction and distractions of the world and the pleasures of this life. He can also take advantage and manipulate the weaknesses and deficiencies in the hearts of believers. And these are present. Believers do have these deficiencies. You can say that all the time he does take advantage of these deficiencies in the lives, in the hearts of believers generally. But where he recognizes there's a movement of something of great potential, as is the case in the development of healthy church life, then he will intensify his attacks. And believers who otherwise will not experience such intense attacks, who may otherwise be able to carry on their lives reasonably, may now find it very, very difficult, if not actually crumble. This is something that we need to bear in mind, to take note of, not just for ourselves, but also in our concern for the Lord's work generally, as we pray for others, to recognize that the evil one will attack more intensely wherever he can recognize and he can discern something that will threaten the kingdom of darkness. And any major work of God, including development of healthy church life, will meet with very intense, continuing spiritual attacks and opposition in all ways that the evil one knows how. And this can include, and will include, the promoting of negative thoughts, suspicions, misunderstandings, dissension, confusion amongst the brethren, so that it leads to a sense of frustration, difficulties in relationships, disunity amongst the brethren, so that they are unable to fight a good fight of faith and unable to move forward together, unitedly, effectively, the way the Lord desires of them. Our working in healthy church life is very difficult and very vulnerable in many aspects. I will not elaborate here in detail. In various other messages, we have been considering this. Likewise, Christian work and Christian service generally. It's important for us to bear in mind that behind the many problems and complexities in Christian work and service is the work of the evil one, including his promoting of self-desires and personal ambitions, wrong emphasis, wrong approach, or wrong unwholesome understanding of the truth, doctrines, deception, the works of the flesh, the evil one is especially effective when there are deficiencies in the lives of God's servants, whether it be negative attitudes or mixed motives within their hearts, especially jealousy, envy, rivalry, or lack of understanding of the truth, knowledge of the truth. Deficiencies like this will facilitate or make it easier for the evil one to work. And so these very deficiencies will also be promoted by the evil one, so that it will be easier for him to work. So these are things that we need to bear in mind and pray over for our own lives and also for the lives of others. And especially those in leadership responsibilities and those with greater responsibilities, they will face greater pressures, more intense attacks, greater scrutiny by the powers of darkness. And they are in greater need of prayer support. Many of the problems and complexities in Christian work and service, we know that things can go very wrong. And in particular, where those in leadership responsibilities, the evil one, are able to work effectively in their lives, things can go very wrong. So in relation to the Lord's work, generally, it's important for us that if we want to participate effectively in the advancement of God's kingdom, then it's helpful for us to recognize the work of the evil one in all these different aspects and areas, and to learn how to take a stand and to counter his attacks in these directions. One has to do with our own lives, the other is how we understand, relate with others. But a very major area in which we can counter the evil one and his working, even as we know that he works in these different ways, is through prayer. This is a very important means by which we encounter the work of the evil one in our lives and the lives of others, and the Lord's work generally. I'll come to this again shortly afterwards. But I now want to go on to another area, the next area of the work of the evil one at a group level, and that is in society. Spiritual warfare is not very real to many believers, but for those who understand the reality of spiritual warfare and the work of the evil one, usually they are more conscious of overcoming the attacks of the evil one on the individual, but may not be so conscious of overcoming the evil one in his work in promoting the evil practices and trends in society, and also that there's a part for believers and the prayer ministry of the church to pray against these trends and evil practices in society that are promoted by the evil one. We have in these messages on overcoming on the spiritual warfare referred to two passages which tell us the strong influence the evil one has on society generally. And if you reflect on these two passages, you'll see that it has a bearing on the negative practices and trends in society. We've referred to 1 John chapter 5 verse 19, "The whole world lies in the power of the evil one." We've also looked at Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 to 13, which describes to us the lives of non-believers living in this fallen world, which is a description of society generally. Paul describes, he was writing to the Ephesians, and he says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked." That is when they were non-believers. And we can see that this describes the lives of non-believers generally, that they are walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. So whether people are aware of it or not aware of it, the course of this world, the whole direction, the trends, they are under the influence of the evil one, according to the prince of the power of the air. he is very much behind what is going on in society. The spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. This is a description of non-Christians generally. And Paul then in verse 3 talks about living in the lusts of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. These are general descriptions, but I will now go on to describe how there are various trends and features in society where it's helpful for us to recognize the evil one at work. So implications of these passages is that Satan and the forces of darkness are at work, and they are behind the spiritual darkness and negative evil practices and trends in society. And this can include various aspects, including the superstitious beliefs and practices and the doctrines of demons. And this can be very pervasive or very widespread in whole groups of people and society and whole nations, countries. In our times of prayer together as a congregation, we have at times shared about these things as we pray for different countries. An aspect that we know is not uncommon is the preoccupation with acquiring material wealth and possessions, and also the pursuit of fame, status and power, worldly fame, status and power. This is something that is very widespread in all parts of the world. Yes, there's an aspect of the human greed and the human weakness and failure. But it's important for us to recognize behind it all is the work of the evil one promoting these negative directions. So here it's not just talking about the weakness and the failure of individuals. It's a whole society gripped by these things. Another aspect is the indulgence and immersion in worldly pleasures. We know that this grips the lives of many people. Another major area is promiscuity and sexual immorality, and associated with it, various sex-related diseases, including AIDS. And we know that AIDS is today a very, very major area of problem. And also, together with this, there are many other associated problems, including the breakdown of society and the family unit. And together with that, also many other related problems. Another major area of concern, what is happening in the world, is the trafficking, the abuse, and the exploitation of millions of women and children. There are many, many sad, very sad and at times very tragic situations of what takes place in the lives of these people. And in all this, even as we are concerned for what is taking place, it's relevant, and afterwards I will mention a little of after recognizing what then. But it's first the importance of bearing in mind that the evil one is at work to promote all these things, and at times he can be very, to a large degree, responsible for what is taking place, as he takes advantage and manipulates the weaknesses of men. Another area that we are aware of that can be very problematic in many countries is the area of drug taking and drug trafficking, the area of crime and violence and lawlessness. All these areas, the evil one is actively at work and promoting. The forces of darkness are also actively at work to promote the emergence of despotic regimes and their evil practices, which can result in cruel, unjust practices which can cause much pain and suffering to many, many people. They are also actively at work to move in the direction of the emergence of political leaders with selfish ambitions, lust for power and wealth, political leaders whom they will then manipulate and make use of to do many terrible things and ruined the lives of many people and ruined the whole nation. The powers of darkness are also promoting many unnecessary wars and conflicts, as well as the excesses of wars and conflicts. Many terrible things that take place in these battles and wars, we may often just think of it from the angle of the evil in the hearts of men. Yes, there's an aspect of that, but it's also helpful for us to bear in mind the forces of darkness at work. It is helpful for God's children to see beyond the negative evil practices and trends in society to recognize the activity and work of the evil one, and the need to take a stand against these trends and practices. This is actually part of the expression of our allegiance to God and God's kingdom, and where we stand in the ongoing conflict in the spiritual realm between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. We've seen earlier that there is this ongoing conflict in the spiritual realm, and they are expressed and manifested in different ways, and this is one very major aspect of the manifestation, what is taking place in society. And this last part, I want to concentrate on prayer. We may ask ourselves, having recognized how the evil one can work in many of these areas, how can we counter the activity and work of the evil one? For example, how can we reduce his influence and grip on society and his working in society in the various areas, aspects that we have listed? We can say a very important and effective means is prayer, personal and corporate. Yes, there's also the aspect of the personal stand that we take in these areas, and also how we conduct ourselves and the influence that we may have in society and the way we relate with others. But a very major and important and effective means to counter the work of the evil one is prayer, at a personal level and also at a corporate level. However, it's important for us also to recognize that even though we may recognize the importance of prayer, we need to be ready for effective prayer and spiritual battle in this realm. Although prayer can be very effective, it's very important, there's also the need to regulate the degree and the intensity of our involvement in prayer to correspond with a degree of readiness. At a personal level, how ready are we to engage in spiritual warfare, in spiritual battle in these areas? How intensely involved? At a personal level, the other is even at the corporate level, the prayer ministry in church life. Because if we overexert ourselves, whether at a personal level or at the corporate level, the spiritual pressure may be too great and we can be overwhelmed, and then this can lead to very disastrous consequences depending on how severe. We can be overwhelmed at a personal level, and our own personal walk with the Lord can be significantly adversely affected. Likewise, at the corporate level, we need to bear in mind that spiritual warfare can be waged at different levels of intensity, meaning, and magnitude. And spiritual warfare can also be waged at a level that can involve very powerful evil spirits who have great influence over whole nations and large areas. For example, the kind mentioned in Daniel chapter 10 verses 13 and 20 that I referred to you in the earlier message. The prince of Persia and the prince of Greece. And also bearing in mind, Satan himself is supervising the whole operation. So if we are not careful and we wage spiritual warfare at a level that's beyond us, then there can be very significant adverse consequences. So in conclusion, I want to emphasize this part, that this point, there is a lot of potential for effectiveness in advancing God's kingdom through the prayer ministry at a personal level and also prayer ministry of church life in all the different dimensions and all the different aspects and areas that we consider today. Prayer is not the only way we can participate in the advancement of God's kingdom and also overcoming the evil one and what he's doing. But prayer is a very effective, potentially very effective means. If we learn how to recognize the activity, the work of the evil one, and how to counter and overcome him in prayer. So the very critical issue is the development of healthy church life and readiness, because there's a lot of potential in the power of prayer through healthy church life, learning how to pray together unitedly. Otherwise, as I mentioned, if there's over-involvement, it can lead to casualties and very adverse consequences for church life and also for the lives of the brethren. So for today, we have sought to recognize that our context is spiritual warfare. It's important for us to learn to fight the good fight of faith. This involves various aspects, but a very important aspect we need to take note of is that if you want to fight the good fight, we need to recognize and discern the activity and the attacks of the forces of darkness. At a personal level, Christians, non-Christians, and also at the group level. The Lord's work, his attacks on church life, and also his attacks on society. It is the will of the Lord that his children participate in spiritual warfare. Is an integral part of the lives of believers for those who want to participate in the fulfillment of God's purposes. It is essential for us to learn how to fight the good fight of faith and how to overcome the evil one and his hold on the lives of people as well as groups of people. Well, there's a need for us to first understand how he works and then learn how to counter him effectively. But this can be true only as we learn how to submit to God in our own lives, deal with the deficiencies in our lives, that more and more we may in our own hearts be free from the hold of the evil one in different aspects of our lives, and learn how to fight together with the brethren, together as one effective army for the Lord. And a very important and effective means is the prayer ministry in church life. May the Lord help us to understand more of these issues for our personal lives and also how we can move well together in church life. Let us now, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, reflect on what has been accomplished at the cross, which includes opening the way for forgiveness of sins, but also knowing that what has been accomplished at the cross goes beyond the provision for us to be forgiven, for us to become God's children, but also provision for us to overcome the evil one. Let us pray that the Lord will guide us and help us to understand how we can overcome the evil one in our own lives, in our own hearts, and also how we can participate in the overcoming of the works of the evil one in the hearts of others and the advancement of God's kingdom. Let us look to the Lord together that He may have the freedom to speak to us, to help us to understand areas in our lives that we need to deal with, and positive areas we need to further strengthen and work at, and also how we can work out together more effectively in church life. Our Father in Heaven, we thank You for the assurance in the Scriptures that it's feasible for us to live an overcoming life. Even though we have a formidable enemy, we know it's Your desire for us to participate in setting the captives free. Father, we thank You for all the provisions You have made for us. We know You want us to experience Your leading us in triumph in Christ. And yet we know that this is not an easy thing. Teach us that we may learn how to fight the good fight of faith. Help us that we will not be careless, presumptuous, even as we know that You have made provisions for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach us to know what it means to put on the full armor of God. Help us be more conscious of the fact that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the forces of darkness. Even as we recognize that they're at work in the many different aspects of life, that You enable us to recognize, to discern, and to learn to counter His attacks in our lives, in the lives of others, to know how to uphold, pray for one another, for protection, for undertaking, for deliverance from the attacks of the evil one, in our physical body, in our thought life, our emotion, our will, our spirit, for undertaking, for the situations that we go through. Let You also protect and keep us and deliver us from the attacks of the evil one in church life. Let You also help us to grow in readiness to participate in praying for Your work in different parts of the world in increasingly effective manner, and also the works of the evil one in society generally that affects the lives of millions. Father, we pray that even as we grow in our understanding, appreciation of the enormity of the task and the scope of it all, that we may be spurred in the direction of greater earnestness in developing ourselves well, so that we'll be able to wage the spiritual warfare effectively, each one of us in our personal lives, and also learning how to grow and fight effectively together in church life as an effective army for God. We know we have a long way to go. There are many things that we need to learn, many aspects of our lives that need to be sorted out, deficiencies that need to be more fully dealt with, many areas that we need clearer understanding, deeper insight, and to learn how to counter the evil one on the basis of what You reveal in the Scriptures, to counter his lies, his deception with the truth, and with assurances that You revealed in the Scriptures. We thank You now for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for Your blessings on the bread and wine. We ask that You help each one of us to prepare our hearts, that we will not partake the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. And as we partake together, we ask that You help us to do so in faith, that we may be strengthened by the life of the Lord, both at a personal level and also strengthen together in church life. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.